Cyclone Nagus. On May 2, 2008, Cyclone Nagus, a massive storm packing winds of 150 miles per hour, slammed into Myanmar, leaving a trail of death and destruction from the Ayawadi Delta to the Thailand border. The cyclone affected more than 2 million people and left some 140,000 either dead or missing. Thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses were impacted by the cyclone, yet amazingly none were harmed. Many survived by taking refuge in their newly constructed kingdom halls. In Bothingon, a coastal village in the Ayawadi Delta, 20 witnesses as well as 80 other villagers perched for 9 hours inside the roof cavity of their kingdom hall as floodwaters rose perilously close to the ceiling and then receded. The branch office promptly dispatched a relief team to the worst affected region at the mouth of the delta. Traveling through desolate terrain that was littered with corpses, the team reached the village with food, water, and medicine. They were the first relief team to reach the area. After giving the supplies to the local brothers and sisters, the team encouraged them with scriptural talks and handed out Bibles and Bible literature, since all their belongings had been swept away in the cyclone. To coordinate the huge relief effort, the branch office set up disaster relief committees in Yangon and Pathain. These committees organized hundreds of volunteers to distribute water, rice, and other basic supplies to cyclone victims. They also arranged for mobile construction teams to rebuild witness homes that had been damaged or destroyed by the cyclone. One of the relief volunteers, Tobias Lund, relates, "My wife Sophia and I found 16-year-old Mason U, the only publisher in her family, drying her Bible in the sun among the ruins of her family home. She smiled when she saw us, but a tear was trickling down her cheek. Before long, one of our mobile construction teams arrived with hard hats, power tools, and building materials and began building the family a brand new home. The neighbors were amazed. People squatted for days around the site, which became the main attraction in the area. Onlookers exclaimed, 'We have never seen anything like this. Your organization is so united and loving. We too would like to become Jehovah's Witnesses.' Mason Wu's parents and siblings are now attending meetings, and the whole family is making fine spiritual progress." The relief work continued for months. The brothers distributed tons of relief supplies and repaired or rebuilt 160 homes and 8 kingdom halls. Cyclone Nagus brought tragedy and hardship to Myanmar, but its storm clouds laid bare something precious: the bonds of love that unite God's people and glorify Jehovah's name. An unforgettable event. Early in 2007, the Myanmar branch office received a thrilling letter. "The governing body asked us to organize an international convention in Yangon," says John Sharp, who, with his wife Janet, had arrived at the branch the preceding year. The 2009 convention would include hundreds of foreign delegates from 10 different countries, something unprecedented in our branch history. John continues, "Dozens of questions came to our minds. What local venue could hold the large gathering? Would publishers from remote areas attend? Where would they stay? How would they travel? Could they afford to feed their families? Also, what about the Myanmar authorities? Would they even permit such a gathering? The obstacles seemed endless. Nevertheless, we recalled Jesus' words, 'The things impossible with men are possible with God.' Luke 18:27. So, trusting in God, we started planning in earnest. We soon located a suitable venue, Myanmar's National Indoor Stadium, an 11,000-seat air-conditioned facility near the center of the city. Immediately, we applied to the authorities for use of the venue. However, months later, and just weeks before the convention, our application had still not been approved. Then we received devastating news. the stadium management had scheduled a kickboxing tournament at the venue on the same dates as our convention. With no time to find an alternate venue, we patiently negotiated with the event promoter and dozens of officials to resolve the impasse. Finally, the promoter admitted that he could postpone the tournament, but only if the 16 professional kickboxers booked for the event would alter their contracts. When the kickboxers heard that Jehovah's Witnesses wanted the venue for a special convention, every one of them agreed to the change. However, says Jaw Nguyen, another branch committee member, we still needed government approval to use the stadium, and our application had already been rejected 4 times. After praying to Jehovah, we met with the general who controlled every stadium in Myanmar. It was just 2 weeks before the convention and the first time that we had been granted access to this level of the national government. To our delight, he approved our request. Unaware of this ongoing drama, thousands of delegates from all over Myanmar and overseas were making their way to Yangon by plane, train, boat, bus, truck, and on foot. Many Myanmar families had saved for months to attend. Scores of brothers grew crops. Others raised pigs, some sewed clothes, a few panned for gold. Many had never been to a large city or had ever seen a foreigner before. Over 1,300 delegates from northern Myanmar converged on the Mandalay Railway Station to catch a special train chartered to carry them to Yangon. One group from the Naga Hills had traveled for 6 days, carrying on their backs 2 publishers whose makeshift wheelchairs had collapsed early in the trip. Hundreds camped out on the station platform, talking, laughing, and singing kingdom songs. Everyone was excited, says Bum Chin Kai, who helped care for transportation. We supplied them with food, water, and sleeping mats. When the train finally arrived, elders helped each group to their assigned coach. Finally, a loudspeaker blared, "The Jehovah's Witnesses train is leaving!" I scanned the platform for stragglers and leaped aboard. Meanwhile, in Yangon, nearly 700 foreign delegates were settling into their hotels. Where, though, would the more than 3,000 Myanmar delegates be accommodated? Jehovah opened the hearts of the witnesses in Yangon to look after their brothers and sisters, says Mien Luin, who worked in the rooming department. Some families took in up to 15 visitors. They paid to register them with the authorities and provided their guests with breakfast and transportation to and from the stadium each day. Dozens of delegates stayed at local kingdom halls. Hundreds more slept at a large factory. Even so, despite this massive effort, some 500 delegates still needed accommodations. We explained our problem to the stadium management, and they allowed the delegates to sleep at the stadium, an unprecedented step. Since the stadium was in poor condition, more than 350 volunteers worked for 10 days to get it ready for the convention. We repaired the plumbing, electrical, and air conditioning systems, and then painted and cleaned the whole facility, says Tae Win, the convention overseer. This huge amount of work resulted in a fine witness. The army officer in charge of the stadium exclaimed, "Thank you! Thank you! I pray to God that you people will use my stadium every year." Over 5,000 people attended the convention, held December 3rd through 6th, 2009. On the final day, many delegates wore traditional dress, creating a dazzling display of colorful attire. All were hugging one another and crying even before the program started, said one sister. After Garrett Lush of the governing body said the final prayer, the audience clapped and waved for several minutes. One 86-year-old sister summed up the feelings of many, "I felt like I was in the New World." Many government officials were also impressed. "This gathering is unique," said one official. "No one is swearing, smoking, or chewing betel nut. Different ethnic groups are united. Never have I seen a group like this." Morris Raj relates, Even the senior military commander in Yangon told us that he and his colleagues had never before seen such an impressive event. Many delegates agreed that they had witnessed something special. One local brother declared, "Before the convention, we had only heard about our international brotherhood. Now we have experienced it. We will never forget the love our brothers showed us."